Okay, we're in. Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Nichols.
Good morning, American Christian.
Hey, episode 122.
Wow.
Doctrine of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Part 2.
Could there be a more important doctrine than the doctrine of Christ?
There couldn't be.
I doubt it.
There are a lot of doctrines.
Well, there are, and they're all important,
but this one.
Oh, my word.
This is, this is all of our, this is our foundation. If we don't get this part right.
This is it. What you believe and teach about Jesus.
Right.
He's the guy. He's our guy.
Hallelujah.
And yeah, it all revolves around him.
So you wanted to do a little bit of review.
And I was back in Acts chapter 2 from last time.
Yeah.
Right, where we saw, actually, that Peter, the apostle, was raised up there on the day of Pentecost. What a wonderful story that is. But really, drawing out of that, the earliest view of Jesus, because bear in mind now, Jesus has just appeared to them in chapter 1. He said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That happens in chapter 2. And now here we are in chapter 2. Jesus is ascended back into heaven. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. And what are they saying about Jesus? Oh, we miss him so bad, you know.
Yeah, and why did they murder him?
I mean, I'm sure they did. You miss him, but that's not what they're proclaiming here.
No.
They're proclaiming a message of victory, a message of resurrection, a message of power.
Right. They're coming out of the cannon with some firepower here.
Oh,
right?
You're right.
As far as Peter's concerned.
Absolutely. And so, as he's preaching, he quotes this amazing scripture, and this really is one of the main Old Testament scriptures for the earliest Christians. This is the one they used for Jesus right out of Psalms. It's in Acts 34 and 35, and Peter says, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, Yahweh said to Adonai, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now that verse is used several times in the New Testament to talk about Jesus and his exaltation after his death and resurrection. So Peter then says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Mm.
And that those words right there are so loaded with power but with meaning.
Right.
I mean, Lord and Christ, you don't crucify the Lord. You don't crucify the Christ. But it just happened. and that's what Peter's proclaiming. Of course, last time we talked about, you know, Jesus coming in the flesh and being a man,
right,
and so forth. But I mean, there is a challenge to categories here that is amazing.
Wow, that's a good observation. Well, the challenge to categories.
It is, and it really is there to rock a worldview about Messiah. And that it is working by the Holy Spirit. In verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, they believed him. You guys crucified him. He was here. He was the Lord. He was the Christ. And he did all these miracles and all these wonderful things, but you killed him.
Isn't
well,
that something?
What do we do now?
I mean, the power of these words.
I know.
It doesn't seem like those words should cause that kind of a response.
Well, and the Holy Spirit's on them.
Right.
Right. Then Peter said to them, Acts 2:38, one of the pivotal verses of the New Testament.
Right.
Okay? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm.
And so that's exactly what happened. 3,000 people come up there and repent, and are added to them in verse 41.
Right.
So the earliest proclamation of Jesus was that he is the crucified Lord, he is the crucified Christ, and he is the way of salvation, the only way.
Yeah, and that seems to run contradictory to everybody else in the world, that Jesus is the only way to life.
Yes.
And man, we want it to be any other way but this. There's something about, is it because you're telling me what to do? But don't all religions bring on that same kind of, I'm going to tell you what to do, and then you have to obey what we're telling you to do?
Yeah, but Islam pretty much claims exclusivity, but Buddhism and Hinduism, they're kind of like, well, if you like our stuff, good, you know.
Pick one.
You want to go over and look, see the Christians, you want to go see the animists. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, right? Don't they? I mean,
well, they do.
Not the Muslims. They're very exclusivistic, but.
Well, they are, but as we had that discussion earlier in the week, coming back from Africa.
Yeah, talk about that.
Well,
you're just fresh back from the field.
I am fresh back from the field, but the takeaway, probably the big takeaway for me is that Muslims are much like the Christmas and Easter Christians.
Mm.
They only know so much of this, and it's just about tradition. It's because your grandfather and his grandfather before him and your father, this is what we do. And on this particular day,
You got to do Ramadan.
You got to do the fasting thing. And, you know, hey, you
it's
know
just
what?
A thing you do.
Yeah,
right?
Do you think that they're as devout as.
There are devout Muslims.
Well, there are. And there's Christians that, you know, they abstain from meat, Doc.
Oh, yeah.
During Easter, I mean, in the Lent, and, you know, they do without, but, you know, little baby Jesus in the manger. There's all of that. But when it comes down to understanding doctrine and who's the Messiah? Who is the Lord of life?
Who's
the creator? Right?
Right.
Muslims don't have answers for those kind of questions.
Right.
And because of that, they cannot enter into conversation with you.
Mm.
So when you start to tell them about Jesus, it's that encounter. With Muslims, it's an encounter of healing. And when that happens, everything changes. The worldview inside of their mind clicks and goes, this is a God that would heal me?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Before I said yes to him, before anything, this guy would heal me? So we saw that happen on street corners in Dar es Salaam. And we saw this happen at 47,000 feet
in the airplane.
In the airplane. So that should give some of you some encouragement to share the gospel.
Yes.
Because without it, people are destined for destruction, and we don't want that.
Right. Now, isn't it interesting in light of just what you just said here? Okay, so we're in Acts. We did chapter 2 as far as the titles and the presentation of Jesus by Peter.
Right.
And Peter talked about the miracles, of course, so many of which he saw with his own eyes as he walked with Jesus those 3 years. But now, in the narrative in Acts, what do you get next except a miracle, but not one that says, you remember Jesus back like 2.5 years ago, you know, he healed that guy on the corner there.
Come on.
That's what he was saying in chapter 2. But in chapter 3, it's a guy right here, right now.
Yeah.
And that's so important with what you were just saying.
Yeah.
That's the gospel is right here, right now.
Right now. It's
and
not
that's
the
what,
history.
And the Bible shows us that here as chapter 3 begins.
Yeah.
Because here they are. They're going up to the temple at the ninth hour. There's a certain man there. He's lame from his mother's womb.
Yeah.
And he's asking alms from those who entered the temple. Peter and John's about to go into the temple, ask for alms. Fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple, with them walking and leaping and praising God. Now, on this current, and you could call it an immediate miracle, a crowd of people gathers together.
Yeah, they do.
Very similar to the way it happened with Jesus in the Gospels.
Right.
Right?
Very similar to the way that it happened in the airplane.
There you go.
There people were people gathering
want,
around.
People want this.
They want this. Who exactly. wants to be sick? Right. Who wants to be ill, right?
So verse 11 says, the lame man who was healed, as he held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed.
Mm.
So they're in this temple campus, you might call it,
sure.
and they're at Solomon's porch. And Peter starts preaching again. Now, how does he preach Jesus this time?
Oh.
Verse 12, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this or look intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And bear in mind, this is just like doing meetings out in the village. Everybody knows this guy.
Right.
We've been walking past him like Peter and John were to go into the temple.
Right.
Right. Now he's jumping around like a teenager. So Peter says, verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus.
Ooh.
Ooh, here we get another title for Jesus beyond. In chapter 2, we got Lord and Christ. Now we have a servant of the Lord, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Peter does not preach this fluffy gospel that you never talk about, the negative stuff. Jeez. You never talk about the, he's in their face. You guys, you're the ones. You delivered him up. You denied him
yeah.
in the presence of Pilate.
Some of you were probably standing in that very
exactly.
courtyard, right?
But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Now, you want to talk about a paradoxical statement.
Okay, let's...
You killed the Prince of Life.
Yeah.
How do you kill the Prince of Life?
That's a good
well,
question.
Well, that's Christology, right? Jesus became a man for the purpose of dying the death, to paying the price for our sins. But what a way to say it. You killed the Prince of Life.
Wow.
Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. And that is so big in the early preaching about Jesus, that the Christ must suffer. That's the part everybody wanted to leave out.
Right.
From even long before Jesus was born in the flesh.
It kind of makes you wonder, like along the way, if people weren't getting revelation by the Holy Ghost that, look, what's happening to this man who is being called Messiah and who is suffering and men are beating him, take it, right? It's like, how quickly did all this start to click and come together?
Yeah.
A realization just for the scribes, for the guys that were writing all this stuff down,
and
the
those
leaders.
Guys, and those guys who had copies of Isaiah right in front of them. Four
right.
major passages in the book of Isaiah that talk about the suffering servant.
Wow, that was good. Four major passages. Who knows that?
There are.
Well, I know.
Well, they are.
I know. But like, you know that.
Of course.
you're a scholar.
So this suffering Messiah is huge. So, but here's the thing, though, about a true living Christology. It's never just an abstract doctrine. It's, okay, we got that now. We took notes on that. There we go. It always goes somewhere. Okay, so now you understand this guy named Jesus of Nazareth. This one, we're telling you, just ascended back into heaven because God just raised him from the dead. And right before that, he died on the cross. This guy, the suffering Messiah, calls you through me. I'm the preacher now. I'm calling you on his behalf to repent.
Wow.
Now.
Wow.
Repent, therefore. Verse 19, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Woo. Dude.
That's this whole present age right now. From the day of Pentecost on to where we sit right here, right now.
Yeah.
On this day in May of 2022. Wow. Times of refreshing.
What? Yeah. Doc.
Yeah.
Who thinks of that?
The Lord did, because he put it in here.
Well, yeah, but like, and how much murmuring and complaining do you hear every day, day in, day out?
Right.
Like, from even our church brothers to those that are outside of it. But there are these, that is good news. That's part of the good news.
It is.
Days of refreshing.
Right.
Who doesn't need a day of refreshing? Hello?
Yeah. Every day can be a day of refreshing.
Glory to God.
But then, so the times of refreshing, and that takes you right up to the second coming of Jesus, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before. Isn't this interesting? Days after he ascended into heaven, Peter's saying, yeah, he's coming back. He's going to be sent back. I mean, we've got 2,000 years. Peter only had a couple days, you know, and he's talking about it, right?
Right.
It's amazing. Verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
Mm.
And so you get a little bit of eschatology thrown in there with your Christology, which is really awesome.
Right.
Times of refreshing comes right up to the second coming of Jesus.
The restoration.
And then begins the restoration of all things.
Mm.
Wow.
That's winning.
The wolf is going to lay down with the lamb.
Yeah, it's time
to. The lion, I mean, with the lamb.
The lion with the lamb. It's not too late to come to Jesus.
Dark. That's right. But then Peter, he's not done. He's still preaching.
Right.
So now he brings in another title for Jesus. Jesus is the prophet like Moses.
Mm.
He's got to have a line and a hook into these Israelite Jewish people here, physical descendants of Abraham.
Wow.
Well, what about Moses? Well, Jesus is the prophet like Moses.
A line and a hook.
Yeah.
Fishers of men.
Peter was there. He was told he was going to be a fisher of men, and here he is fishing for men.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that'll write.
Yeah. So Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, from your brethren, him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you.
Mm.
And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.
Oh, how many souls?
Ooh, every soul.
Oh, every soul that will not hear. That will not hear.
Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
There he is again.
Here's servant, now again, servant of the Lord. Yeah. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning every one of you away from your iniquities.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Servant Jesus, conquering king.
Just in two messages. Yeah. You got enough stuff here to study the rest of your life. It's revelation pouring out of a man who his whole life has been a fisherman, but now he's anointed with the Holy Ghost.
Oh, my word.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're taking ground.
Yes.
They really are taking ground here.
They are. All right. So now then, what if we jumped over to another guy, kind of the opposite side of the spectrum in the world system.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul, Saul the Pharisee, now become Paul the Apostle. kind of on the opposite side of things from Peter, right?
Right, for sure.
A very educated man, a very, well, both of them were passionate. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But over in Philippians, we want to just go after a scripture here for a little bit that is so central to what you believe and what you teach about Jesus.
Mm.
As Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and in chapter 2, in verse 5, he says this, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God."
Hmm.
Okay, we got to stop right there.
All right.
Messiah Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, is really what that title, Christ Jesus, means. All right, so have this mind in you. Okay, so who is this Jesus? This is why this is a Christology passage, because it answers that question. He's in the form of God, and yet he does not consider it robbery to be equal with God. That means Jesus, in his divine nature, is equal with God the Father.
Right.
Their deity is the same deity.
Right.
Jesus is not created. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus is not any... that the Father was lonesome and he said, "Oh, I think I need a son, so I'll create one." Jesus existed in ancient eternity past.
Hallelujah.
With the Father and with the Holy Spirit. So let's let that be established as a foundation of what we believe about Jesus. His deity is the same deity as that of the Father.
Right.
Okay. Then it says, "But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Here we have it again. You got the absolute deity you start with. Now, what does he do? He lowers himself, comes down, takes on human flesh and a human nature.
Right.
The God-man. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The only one who didn't need to humble himself, Jesus,
right,
humbled himself.
He did.
Yeah.
And he comes down not as a man who's in charge of everything,
right,
but now he's a man that takes the lowest position.
Comes as a baby in the manger.
Yeah.
Goes up, we just read all that.
Yeah.
He just goes up to Jerusalem, does all the stuff. And even in his ministry, he's mighty, he's powerful, and Jesus is always humble.
Yeah. Doesn't get...
That's such an amazing thing about
him. It is.
Him.
He's saying this is possible.
And he did it.
It's possible for you, it's possible for me to do these things.
Wow. You mean that we would not walk on this earth in pride, Pete?
Right. That we can walk humbly. We can serve people and still be powerful with the kingdom, the reign. Like,
wow.
What? You can change a man's life in one moment by laying hands on them?
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yeah.
Dude, sign me up.
It happens all the time.
We got to go.
All right.
Okay, go.
So he became obedient to the cross death.
Yeah.
Not just any death. They didn't stone him.
Right.
They didn't starve him to death. They didn't do anything else but crucify him.
Right.
That's so amazingly important. But we'll come back to that in a later podcast. Here, it's in verse 9, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him."
Mm.
The therefore, why is the, what is the therefore there for? Okay?
Go ahead.
Because he humbled himself all the way to the cross death.
Right.
Then God raised him and exalted him and given him the name which is above every name.
We talk about
Jesus, in other words, being eternally God, same as the Father in his deity, comes down.
Yeah.
And gets this. He comes down and acquires this.
Mm.
God didn't need it. We needed it.
And he doesn't just take it, but he demonstrates it.
And he, his own body is ripped apart in the process.
Right.
His blood is spilled. And yet, after all of that, he's elevated and exalted and given a, given this name.
Right.
This is the defeat of the enemy by that name. That verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those of earth, and those under the earth.
Come on.
Three levels, heaven, earth, under the earth.
Yep.
Spirit realm, physical realm, every realm, the name of Jesus is the highest name.
Hallelujah.
And I love that, what you just lived here in these last couple of weeks, Pete, as I've done it many times myself. You just go out. It doesn't matter what the nation is.
No.
It doesn't matter who the people are,
no.
what the language is, what the principalities are, what the diseases and sicknesses are. You just go out there and elevate that name of Jesus.
And man alive, it just comes up.
And people get healed. And people get miracles. And people come to get saved.
They do. And they stand in line for it.
Yes.
<You know? laughs>
Yes. Because this is true. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
That's one of the most powerful passages on the doctrine of Christ in the Bible.
Wow.
Right there.
Right? And it's something that we use every time that we're in the field.
Yeah, and it's all there.
Yeah.
The deity is there. The humanity came together. What happened now? He's exalted to the highest place.
And we're not the only ones that know this.
Ooh. Talk about that,
yeah.
Pete.
We're not the only ones that know this, because every demon,
yes, sir,
every fallen angel knows this to be true. So when you're speaking and you're declaring, come out, they have to obey. They can't say no to you. But we've been trained.
Unless you let them.
Well.
Right?
Unless you let them.
Yeah.
And if you want to make it a long, drawn-out thing, it can be. But we're learning that it doesn't have to be that.
Amen.
And it happens on both sides of the ocean.
Right. Now, you said fallen angels. Now, I got to ask you, there's one lead fallen angel. Even him?
Especially him.
Right. Him.
Because what we learn about him in the book of Revelation is that he's a what? Like, people don't even recognize, like, this is the guy that, this thing right here is what caused. No.
That's what we're going to say.
That's what we're going to say.
In the second coming everything comes to a head.
Yeah.
We are. That's true.
What is that verse, do you know?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, we won't go there. But it is interesting. And really, I don't know that we personally are dealing with Satan, but we sure are dealing with all of his minions.
Right.
He is in one place, listener.
That's right.
He is not in multiple places.
He's not
places.
Like God.
He is in one place. He is not equal to God in any measure, even in his wickedness.
No, because of how many demons he has and how many fallen angels he has, it can seem that way, but it's not.
But it's not.
Yeah.
And we're a victorious church.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, I need to keep drilling that into my spirit. We are victorious. We're conquerors. We're not left behind. We're not forgotten. We're not belittled. We're not small.
We're not orphans.
We're not orphans. We're not left behind. We're powerful. Our words carry weight. Who doesn't want that in life?
Isn't that Satan's main message? Is that you're an orphan?
Yeah.
You've been abandoned.
Look,
you're left behind. You're all this little thing that can't do much.
Yeah. You're dead.
Feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
And speak this out of your mouth over other people too. Get them with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Jesus has won the victory.
It's like the 12-step program. You know, I get everybody in one room complaining and murmuring about, right? And find others that are just like you and keep them locked into the... No, you can be set free from that.
Amen.
Freedom
Amen.
In Christ.
So we want to sum this up by saying Jesus is the exalted Christ, exalted Lord. While he was here on this earth, he was the suffering servant. He was the prophet like Moses. He was all these things, those and many more that we're going to talk about in podcasts to come.
Right.
But today, he is the Savior and Deliverer of all mankind.
Yeah, and you know, you started this thing off and you were talking about the titles.
Right.
Titles. And listener, pay attention. When you see a title of Christ, make a mental note of it. Circle it in your Bible. Or underline it. Because you're going to find that there are hundreds. His name, there's hundreds. Are there not?
Well, I don't know if there's hundreds, but there's dozens.
There's more than 50.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be a good research. I bet Dake knows. Phineas Dake. How many names?
No, we'll continue talking about the titles.
Yeah, so, but the titles
are big.
We've
talked about four or five or six of them here already.
Right. I jotted them.
And they're amazing.
Yeah, so let's be focused then through the rest of this week on what Christ has done.
And how highly he's been exalted.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone.
I mean, he went as low as anybody could ever go.
Yeah.
That's the contrast. And then God the Father says, come up here.
Yeah.
Man.
And then what we see on display in the book of Acts with Peter and how he moved. It's not this whole, what are we going to do now that you've killed? No, it just shoots out of a cannon. Boom. Here he comes. He's loud. He's shouting this out. He's bold. He's going before men that he would have never stepped in front of, you know, months ago.
Right.
Before all of this happened, he's like in the forefront of this thing. He's leading it out, and Christ is right there with him through the power of the Holy Ghost, and that same thing can happen to you.
So why don't you pray that over our listeners, Pete, that they will do that thing like Peter did.
Yeah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I declare over our listeners, Lord, and those that they come in contact with, that they would be given a boldness to declare the gospel, that, Lord, you have a plan for their life, that you will release upon them, Lord, that in the moment that they receive you, everything would change. Just as it did for Peter, just as it did for all the apostles, just as it did for the 3,000, everything begins to change with the mention of the name of Jesus. So, Father, thank you. Bless those who are drawing near to you, and, Lord, draw those in who are far from you in Jesus' name.